Okay, welcome back. Now we'll go and talk about the life cycle of a cloud application. So in this session, we'll speak about designing an application, the development side of the application, and we'll deploy an application. We'll speak about testing, we'll speak about management, we'll speak about scaling up and down, and we'll upgrade an application. And all this will be done in two sessions. So the first part of the session, we'll speak from design until testing. So let's start with designing. That's the first thing we do when we have an application, right?
We design?
We have to design.
But the first thing we do is we order T-shirts for the team. Then you write the code.
No, the first thing...
Then you ship the code. Then you test the code.
And then you design.
That's right.
Okay. So now, well, we'll start with designing. And the first thing we need really to know and to decide whether, like... Is it right for us to do and to design an application for the cloud? Is the cloud the right environment for us? Is it the right tool for the right purpose? And as we spoke earlier in the session, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. And I have a very simple rule of thumb, which would say, if you think about your app and you think about the basic deployment of your app, and if you think about your app and you say, oh, I need one instance over deployed on a single instance of a single server, if that's the case, maybe the cloud isn't for you. Maybe on-prem Windows App Fabric on Windows Server 2008, that's the thing for you. And Microsoft continues to develop and to do lots of work on production. Invest lots of infrastructure to give you the best server possible on-prem. If you think about reliability, if you think about scalability, if you think about availability, if those are the issues which concerns your app, maybe the cloud is the place for you. And this is what we're gonna speak about in this session. So let's assume you decide that you need the cloud because you need the three words. You need availability, you need reliability, you need scalability. That's the thing for you. So you have to design for scale, and we'll speak about that later on. So the first thing what you do is you think about the design for the cloud. It's not a simple application, it's a cloud application. Now, when you design an application for the cloud, it doesn't mean that the whole application, the whole world of your application is in the cloud. And hybrid mode is possible. Some of the application can live in the cloud, and some of the application can live on-prem. And using Azure App Fabric or using Azure Connect, you can connect the two. So it doesn't mean that the whole application should go there to the cloud. And then you have to decide which part of the application is the best candidate for the cloud and which should stay at home. And then you have to define the roles. As we will see, and was already mentioned, there are web roles, and there are worker roles, and there are VM roles, and that's a model for your app. It's an Azure modeling. Now, you use that model on previous apps when you have the front end of the app, meaning the UI, etc., and then you have the back end of the app, which was the business logic and the data tier. So you can continue with those, but in the Azure world, we call it roles. So you have to define which roles goes where, how many roles you need, what is the communication between the roles, etc. Now, when we speak about communicating between roles, you have different alternatives. You can have the roles speak with each other using queues, using Azure Storage queues. You can have them exposed as WCF services, and then they can speak using the WCF stack. So you have to decide what is better for you. Do you want to expose those services to those roles publicly, yes or no, etc.? And then you have to speak and to decide about the storage technologies that you can use. Windows Azure is like an operating system for the cloud. This is how it is being called. And the question is why? what is an operating system after all? And the operating system is something that abstracts your resources. When you think about an operating system at home, at your PC, you have a machine there, and you want to write to the machine. You want the machine to work for you. You don't write directly to the CPU. You don't write directly to any bits inside a hard drive. You use the operating system as an abstraction.
That's right. You abstract away the sectors and tracks and heads of your hard drive to this abstract, logically contiguous series of bytes they call a file.
Okay. So now there's a new way to have storage. Storage can be located in a file, but storage can be located in Azure Storage, which is scaled out storage. Now I want my operating system to abstract all these kinds of storage. I don't want to use only files. I want to use Azure Storage as well. So I would expect an operating system in the cloud to do so. And fortunately, Windows Azure does that. So I can use Windows Azure Storage very easily. Do I want to use Windows Azure Storage? Do I want to use SQL Azure? Do I want to use some other way of storage? So I need to understand what is the best storage mechanism for me. Now, speaking of scale, the idea of cloud is in the scale. The scaling is what the cloud is all about, I would say.
Yes.
Okay? And this means that when you design your app, you have to think about scaling out. You have to think of many instances. You have to think of many different machines working together to give you the final solution. Now, when you have that back in your mind, let's say, think of a database. Okay, let's think of a database. Usually, traditionally, a database is a huge machine with a huge chunk of storage, like 1 terabyte of database. And that is not scalable. That is a single point of failure. Now, in the Azure world, in the cloud world, we don't think as a single point of failure. We think as scaling out. We think of many instances. This is why you wouldn't have 1 terabyte huge machine, huge database. You would have many instances of 50 giga database all spread out. And then you can have as much memory as you want. You have no limitation over your database, but it is spread out. And the same goes with partitions. here, a little technical problem. Anyway, the same goes with partition in Azure Storage. You'll speak about partition later on.
Exactly.
And of course, we have many roles, we have many instances, and we have to think about keeping state inside those roles and outside those roles. And we want to focus and to go to have as many stateless roles as possible. So we design for scaling out, we design for multiple instances. If you would have a cache, in-memory cache of a huge amount of memory, you allocate a few megabytes of memory, this would not scale very well, and this is something you wouldn't want to do in a cloud solution. So we'll continue the design.
Okay.
Okay. And we have to think about a few other stuff, like diagnostics and management. How do I manage my cloud application? How do I do that in relations to an on-prem application? What's the performance issues? When I have my app on-prem, very close to me, of course, communicating to this app would be instant. Mm-hmm. Now I take my app and I put it somewhere in the cloud, maybe not even in my state. Like, unfortunately, in Israel, there is no data center. I have to go to Ireland.
You know, I wonder how long it is before they host one in Israel.
I hope it will be soon.
My friends in Iceland said they were getting one about 2013, they thought.
Well, so we'll see what happens, but, you know, the app is far away. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens then? What is the latency? What is the throughput? And I have to measure those and to design so my application would give me the best solution. We spoke a bit about security. We have a whole session about security. We have to design this as well. And we have to design for cost. Mm-hmm. That's a new thing. You know, mm-hmm. As a developer, I used to design for scalability. I used to design for efficiency. I used to design for performance. But I never thought about cost. Mm-hmm. And now there are issues here, because the more instances you have, the more money you'll have to pay.
Yeah, at the same time, scaling out, you know, gives you more units to spread that cost over.
Of course. So it's something I should think about. It's something that I should design, and I should have that in my considerations. And communication. How do I communicate to those roles? How those roles communicate with each other? How do I communicate with the app? How do I communicate with the storage? Et cetera. So all these are considerations I have to take when I speak about a cloud solution. Now, well, I would love to have a whole new app and to start from scratch. And I have this new technology, I have this new project, and then I start from scratch and I build everything exactly as I want it to be. And, well...
Wouldn't that be cool?
Wouldn't that be cool? But unfortunately, that's not the case. Most of the times.
Well, I mean, you know how they say God managed to create the world in only 6 days.
Yeah, but
he didn't have any previously installed base. He had to worry about backwards compatibility.
No, he had that, but unfortunately for us, we usually have our investments in older technologies, and now we have to ask ourselves: can we take that? Can we use those investments? Can we reuse those investments on the cloud? Could we migrate those to the cloud, or shall we use a hybrid mode where some of those assets will be still at home, on-prem, and some new features will be hosted in the cloud? Well, we have to think about those.
We've had this, you and I have had this discussion before, and you're absolutely right, it's hard to get rid of those things. The drawback that I ran into, though, I remember back in the early days of .NET, some of my clients were writing a project, and they replaced their ASP page with ASP.NET pages, still using the same backend COM objects. And they still had memory leaks, and all this great stuff they were going to get by going to .NET. They only went halfway. So they didn't get any of the benefits, and they had the cost of doing everything twice. And they set their .NET effort back by about 2 years by choosing a mixed mode development project. And that's, so when I hear you talk about this hybrid mode, I get a little worried, and that's why.
It's something to consider.
Especially for the first pilot. Boy, if there's one thing I'd say, make that first pilot a pure, myself, I would say, to the extent that you can, make that first pilot a pure Azure application.
I would love to have that, but you know, it's something to consider. And unfortunately, we, as I said, you know, we are in the beginning of an era. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, some stuff are just not supportable. Mm-hmm. Especially in the SQL SQL arena, some stuff are not supported yet. They will be soon. It's amazing to see how soon it is, because the cycle of new releases is something around 3 months.
It's amazing how much faster it is nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, it's faster and faster. That's just amazing. But still, today, some stuff are not supportable. So what do I do with those non-supported technologies? How do I use them? Let's say I am dependent on them. What do I do now? So again, I have to list those technologies and to see whether I am dependent on a technology which is unfortunately not supported yet. We have to think about the storage architecture, but because the existing application, the old application, well, they did not know anything about Windows Azure. So how do I do state management then? How do I do caching? How do I leverage Windows Azure even though my old app and my old APIs were not designed for Azure? Can I abstract Azure? Maybe I can. Again, performance. What happens now in the performance scale and connectivity? can I connect to my old application? Can I connect to my existing assets? What about testing? Do I have to test the whole app again if I migrate it to the app to the cloud? Well.
Short
I should
answer, yes.
Okay. Yeah, And we spoke about regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happens now? So all those things are things that I need to take into consideration when I'm designing a new app. Okay, so we finished design. Wasn't that easy?
That was. This is about as much time as most of my clients spend on design.
Okay.
Most of the time.
So we'll go to development.
All right.
So we have a design and we want to develop a new app, and we have a development team that should do that. And they're kind of afraid because, you know, they have to learn a new set of skills and they have to learn a new set of stuff. And they're used to developing in a certain way, and now it happens in the cloud. So the good thing, the good news are that they will continue to use the same development skills. They will continue to use the same development tools, which means Visual Studio. We continue to live in Visual Studio. We'll do the same debugging and as we used to. We have the F5 debugging, F10, F11. We do the same stuff we used to do. And to develop, we will use a cloud emulation. We don't want to create an app and then deploy it to the cloud, and then we have some changes, and then we have to redeploy, et cetera, again and again. We want the app to be as close as possible, so we will be able to develop it here, debug it here, and when it is ready, baked over, you know, when it is baked and ready, and then we will go and deploy it to the staging environment in the cloud,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll do some testing there. And only after all the testing finished and succeeded on the staging environment, only then we will go to the production environment. So Visual Studio, that's the thing. This is where we live. You heard, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
That's us. Visual Studio, this is where we live. And fortunately, we have tools for Visual Studio, which we can download. Visual Studio Tools for Azure, which we can download and install it on Visual Studio. It doesn't come automatically with Visual Studio. I reckon that it will come sometime.
I was going to say it will one day. Azure iterates very quickly, and Visual Studio iterates, you know, every couple of years or so.
So currently we are in version 1.3. we have a few extensions to Visual Studio, which we'll see in a minute. We have the Storage Explorer, the Server Explorer, and we have the integrated development, and we also have IntelliTrace debugging, which is interesting because IntelliTrace debugging we can do also in the cloud. So we can deploy an app and tell it in the cloud to collect IntelliTrace information for us, and then if there's a problem with something, we can get that data back to Visual Studio and do IntelliTrace exactly as we used to do on on-prem applications. So, what do we have there? So, as you demonstrated before, we create a new project. We can see the cloud here. And then we figure out which roles we want. We take a worker role, a web role, etc. And then we have a cloud solution. Easy Visual Studio. Now we want to work on the local machine. So for that, we have two new emulators. We have the compute emulator and we have the storage emulator, which we will demonstrate in a minute. And those allows us to work on our machine and to gain information about what's going on. As you can see, we are working on 127.0.0.1, and these are the ports for the storage. And the compute emulator will work on 81, 82, 83, etc. We will begin it at port 81 because a web role should be at port 80, so we will not work on port 80, we will take the next following port. So that's the emulator. And then when we open Visual Studio, we will have a Compute Explorer that, using the Compute Explorer, we can see our instances and their in, their state, the exact state. Now, to connect to those instances, we will use a certificate for authentication. We will see that in a minute. And if we want to look at the storage state, current state, we can use the storage. It's a storage explorer, and as you can see here, that's the server explorer. We open here the storage explorer, and we can see our blobs, our tables, etc. More details about the storage will be presented by Dave tomorrow.
Yes.
So, here I see some blobs, and here I can see a certain table.
I love putting things in blobs.
Well, I love using.
I'm a geek, you know that.
I love using Azure. So let's do that. So here I have a Visual Studio opened with a solution. So what do we have here? Here we have Visual Studio opened with a solution, an Azure solution, a very simple solution. I won't go into details about the app itself because it doesn't really matter. It's just an app. We'll run it in a minute, but it has just one web role. And I want to use it. So let's see what we have here. Dave just showed you how to create that project, to create a new Azure project. So let's say we have an Azure project. And in this web role, we have an ASP.NET web application, a very simple application. As I said, the code now is not really relevant, but we'll see it later on. Now, I can go here to the web role. I right-click it. I go to properties. And what do I have here? I have a configuration page. I can see if I'm running in full trust or partial trust. I can see the number of instances I want. So let's say I want two instances. I can see the VM size that I really need. I need a large one, a medium size, an extra small one. That's a new feature, which is, of course, cheaper. So I would go with the small one. And if I need diagnostics, which I don't now, so I can enable that. I go to the settings, and here I can see a few connection strings. So I will work with the data connection string, which is just a connection string to the storage, and I will use storage in that simple application. So I can put here as many settings as I want, and those settings can be strings or connection strings. Now, this is a connection string, and as you can see here, you have two different types of connection strings. This is a connection string that actually goes to the cloud, to Azure storage in the cloud. And this is a connection string that goes locally. So I want to work locally. So I ask, please use Windows Azure Storage Explorer. That's it. Now, what would I get here? Use development storage equals true. Now I have endpoints. If I want to have this web role exposed as a WCF service, or I want to expose it as an SSL, etc., I have to manage those endpoints. Are they protected with a certificate, which means SSL, yes or no, which port am I using, etc., etc. So all this happens here. A local storage is like a local directory of files that I can create. If I have certificates that I will use, for example, for having SSL. And if I want to use Azure Connect, I enable that here. All this eventually will be written in the configuration files. Now, if I want to go back and work with Azure Storage, as you can see here, it's very simple for me to write this connection string. It's quite a long connection string. And just all I have to do is write the account name and the account key, and I'm okay. We'll do that later on. For now, we'll use the development storage back here on my laptop. So that's it. We'll save that. And let's go to the configuration files. And here is the service configuration file. Here I can see the declaration of those connection string. And if I go to the service definition file, okay, sorry, service. Here I can see the values that I wrote for my service, and here it is, use development storage equals true. This is exactly what it did. So that's the reflection of what we just did in the configuration files. And these are the configuration files you actually showed when deploying the app. So what happens now is that I'm working locally. So let's do that. Let's just run. I press F5. What's this? I'll go back here. Okay, I'll press F5. And as you can see down there, packaging the deployment. So it's packaging my app to the local deployment, to the local emulator. And if we'll go down, we will see that the compute emulator is running. Here it is on the taskbar. The compute emulator is started. The storage emulator is started. I'm working here. And I can have a simple UI, show compute emulation UI. Here it is. And here is my web role. And here are my two instances. So I have a name for the deployment. I can see their instances. And I can see they're running, my two instances. Okay? And if I will write something to system.diagnostics, I will see that here in this pane. So I can see the state, and I'm happy. And if we'll go, we will see here in the IE, in the Explorer, we'll see that I'm working against the local computer, port 81, as we said, and I'm happy. So what this app does, I'll be using a little bit of blobs. I will take my kids, a picture of my kids, and I will upload that to Azure Storage. And these are my kids.
Funny, I'm going to use my kids' pictures for my storage demos tomorrow.
Okay.
Very proud father, so, boring as hell.
Oh, yeah. So these are my kids. And let's see those blobs. And here they are. And as you can see, this is a URL. Now I'll switch back to Visual Studio. And we'll go to Server Explorer. Okay. And we'll go to the Azure Storage. And we'll see the blobs. And this is my simple storage. And here is the blob. Now, let's go to properties, and we'll take that URL. And I'll open Internet Explorer again. Go back to Internet Explorer. And I will use that URL. I'm reading against the blob, but I'm reading against the local blob. Mm-hmm. So I will continue to develop against the local machine. And if I want to do, let's go to the app. And here it is. And let's pick a button. Load. I will put a breakpoint here. I will go to my app. And here I am stopping at a breakpoint. So that's the same development experience that I'm used to. Okay, so I will stop that, and we'll go back to the deck. Okay. So we did development. We have our app up and running. And now it's time for deployment. So when we do deployment, we have two different slots, two different locations. We have a production and we have a staging one. And we have to, or we should, take advantage of that. Because, you know, taking an app to the cloud is a risky thing. You know, it's going up there to somewhere, I don't know where it is, it's in the, in the cloud. Will work. So I really want to take my app to a staging environment in the cloud and make sure it really works. And it will. It will. I will conduct all my testing there. And only then I will bring it to production when I'm absolutely sure that everything works great, the performance is tuned, and I'm happy with the app. And then I can have my customers use it. Now, when I'm doing so, when I'm deploying my app, I don't have to deploy the app as one section. I can do two-phase deployment. First, I develop at my local machine. Then, I can continue to have my compute instances running on my local machine, but the storage I will use in the cloud. And then, when everything is ready, I will take my compute instances and to the cloud. Now, the whole app is in the cloud. I will put it on staging, and only then, after testing, I will put everything in production. So this process will bring me as safe as possible to have a running app on the cloud. So let's go for it. Let's do that. So we'll go back to our app. So that's the app. No more breakpoints. And as I said, I want to use the storage only. The app still works on my computer, but I want to use the storage in the cloud. So
you like that hybrid mode, don't you?
Yeah, I think that I love being safe. And the cloud provides me to do that. So if you will go to the portal of the cloud, the portal management, I have the storage account waiting for me. And it's called Jumpstart 1 because we are in a Jumpstart session. And here, we can see the account name, Jumpstart 1. And we have a key. This is the key that we'll authenticate with to the storage servers. Now we'll switch back to Visual Studio. And we'll go to the properties of the web role. We'll go to the data connection string. And we'll say, oh no, we want to use the real thing. We want to use the real storage service. And now it asks us, what is your account name? So here it is, Jumpstart 1. And what is the account key? For that, I will go back to the portal. Here it is. I do give me my key. I copy it to the clipboard. I have two keys, but it doesn't really matter which one you take, the primary and the secondary, just for safety reasons. So I copy it to the clipboard. Here it is. And that's it. I'm ready to run. So as we saw, we can do our develop a deployment in stages. So we went to the storage, and now we'll go and deploy the app as it is. Now, as you showed earlier, we can create a package, mm-hmm. and then take that package with the configuration and deploy it to Azure. The configuration goes to the fabric. The application goes to the actual cloud, yes. with the amount of instances that we need. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we can do the whole process in one click using Visual Studio.
Isn't that sweet?
That's amazing. So let's see that. So I will switch back to Visual Studio in a minute. So we can take the whole application to production or to staging using Visual Studio with a very simple set of steps that we'll see just now. To do that, we need to have a subscription, of course. We need to have a subscription in the hosted service and in the storage account. And to authenticate against the Azure Cloud, we need to have an X509 certificate. And we will see exactly how we do that in a minute. What we'll do is we'll publish. We'll go to the solution. We'll right-click Publish. And then we'll start with the process. We'll see this beautiful window, which will ask us for the credentials, which will ask us where do you want us to deploy the app to, and then we are set to go, and we write OK. After deployment starts, we get to have a nice window in Visual Studio that tells us exactly what is the state of the current deployment, what's happening. As you said earlier, it takes 20 minutes to spin up a new instance, to spin up a new deployment. To spin up a new instance, if we have an existing deployment, it's much quicker. But to create a new deployment, that's a long process. So we will see exactly what happens in the process inside Visual Studio, and we don't have to do anything about that. And then when the process finalized, it will start up the instance automatically. So we can just deploy and forget. And when it will be ready, it will be up. So let's do this. We go to Visual Studio. And now I don't want to work against the... I don't want to go to work only against the local machine. I want to work against the real cloud. So go back to Visual Studio. Here we are. So that is our solution. So we need a certificate. If we go to the portal, here it is. So that is our portal. That's the account, and that's the hosted services. And as you can see here, we have two hosted services. One which I already deployed just to make sure that we won't have to wait 20 minutes. And one which will be deployed to, we're deploying to now.
Yes, Julia.
So, yeah. So we have a certificate, and we have to add a certificate here. This will be a certificate that will be used to authenticate with. In our local environment, I created a certificate. I installed that certificate, as you can see here, and it's called Windows Azure Tools. I can use Visual Studio to do that for me. So I've done that already, and I have a certificate here. And I've exported that certificate to a file. So now I can take that certificate. I can say, add a certificate in the portal. I can browse to that file. So that's not with my kids. That's Azure. Here it is, portal set. And I gave it a password. Here it is. Now I'm working against the portal. Here it is. This is my certificate. So now I want to deploy my app here to Jumpstart 2. Let's go to Visual Studio. Let's go to my app. And let's go to the actual solution. And I'm not going to the web project. I'm going to the actual solution. And here what I'm doing is I want publish. Now I have this beautiful window that we've seen in the deck. And now I have to choose my credentials. So I can create new credentials. I can create a certificate here. I can manage my credentials. And here I point to a certain certificate that I have already deployed. Here I write, what is the subscription ID I want to authenticate against? Here, if I go to the portal, and I go to my subscription, I can see here the subscription ID. This is where I taken it from. So, back to Visual Studio. That's the subscription ID, and I give it a name. So these are my credentials, Jumpstart. Okay. So I want to use those credentials. And I want to deploy it to what? I can deploy it to two services here, Jumpstart and Jumpstart 2, because in the portal, as you can see, I have two services, Jumpstart and Jumpstart 2. This was already deployed, and this is we're deploying it now.
And it's a whole lot faster to go to the one that's already there, right?
Of course. Now, back to Visual Studio. So I want to use, Jumpstart 2 in staging. Okay. I have a storage account called Jumpstart 1. I'll give it a name. Okay. And that's it. Okay. Publish started. I can come here and I can see the results of my deployment. Here you can see the last deployment that I've done, which was successful. And here you can see the current deployment that I'm actually doing. So it will take it some time. And with the time, I will see in the actual portal the things are happening. It will take some time for it to appear. Okay, not ready yet, but it will come. And I will see the pace of deployment just here, reflected to what's happening in Visual Studio. And by the end of it, it will actually run. So what I will actually get in 20 minutes time or 10 minutes time, here it is, you see that I'm starting to run. I will go here. And that's my app. This is the DNS that I actually get, and I can use it. And I can upload the kids, the photo of my kids. Here it is. That's my kids. And I upload it to the actual cloud. Okay. And sorry. So I have the photo of my kids uploaded to the cloud. So this is how I deploy an application in a few simple steps from Visual Studio straight to the cloud. Okay, so with that, we will finish this session. We'll take a break for a few minutes, and we'll come back.
Okay, that works.